Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
But I want to get to Heather Schroen. She's the political reporter for WTTW, and she is covering this story because the city council yesterday banned the sale of most flavored vaping products. This is an effort to kind of curb the surge in vaping by teenagers. Alderman O'Shea introduced it and has been a big proponent of this. We've had him on the show about it and over the, I guess, year or so, because he's been pushing for it, saying this is a gateway, that vaping is a gateway, and the kids then move on to other drugs, other things, and that it can be very dangerous. I think one of the things we always have to point out in that situation is that we have found that most of the kids who are getting really, really sick are involved with THC-laced e-cigarettes, that is a major problem, and it isn't the ones that are necessarily at the vape shops. So when you ban the sale of them, do you really ban the sale of them? Is it going to, kids still going to get their hands on the ones that they want to get their hands on? It's the ultimate question. You know, is that the case? Let's ask Heather Schroen, which she knows a lot about this because she's been reporting on it. Heather, thanks for joining the show.
Happy to be here, Anna.
So, you know, this, I guess not entirely unexpected. They've been pushing for this for a while. What does it actually mean?
Well, it's going to mean that if you rely on sort of vaping flavored nicotine that isn't tobacco flavored, you aren't going to be able to buy those products legally in Chicago once this ordinance takes effect. So that means if you are one of the many sort of adult smokers that tried to transition from cigarettes to vaping, you're going to sort of be in a little bit of a situation. But the city council decided that that was worth the trade-off because there has just been such a huge surge, as you said, in the number of teens who are vaping. And most teens vape liquid nicotine products that are flavored with fruit or dessert or, you know, all candy, all sorts of different things. So those products are now banned in the city, and it's really just the latest move the city has made to try to restrict teen smoking.
So I'm looking at your report here for WTTW. Tastes of aroma, they're banning ones that feature liquid nicotine with aromas of menthol, mint, wintergreen, chocolate, vanilla, honey, cocoa, candy flavors, dessert flavors, herbs, spices. There's a lot of creative flavors here. Really, I mean, you get into
really
it. Woo, and some interesting names, too, if you come across these.
Right. And, you know, the argument there is that you're not really reaching out to an adult if you're sort of offering candy-flavored liquid nicotine. You're trying to reach teens. And we all know that once you get hooked on nicotine, it's a really hard addiction to break.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I talked to a friend of mine, actually, a friend of mine from Lane Tech. Her brother has a couple of vape shops in town. And he's upset about it, obviously. He thinks that, I know your article even points out that if you go toward the borders of the city, some people are saying, okay, you don't sell it in Jefferson Park, I'm just going to go to the suburbs, I'll go get it there.
Right.
And so it doesn't really necessarily solve that issue. But his point is that the vaping, the people are not getting one of the issues about vaping, which is the kids are going to get it, is what he says. He believes that the kids are just going to get it, and they might not even get the legal ones anyway. They're going to get these ones that are sort of laced with THC or whatever, the ones that we've seen in the news so much with these kids making them in their basements and then passing them out to their friends. And then he also says that we forget that vaping is a way to help people stop smoking, and that, you know, he's concerned that there's sort of this kind of presentation that it's totally bad as a whole, that vaping is just wrong, and that's kind of why it was introduced. I mean, I don't know what percentage is actually using it for that and what is using it recreationally. I really don't have a feel on that.
Well, we do know from surveys and data that the number of children, not just teens, but children who report being exposed to vaping and, you know, trying liquid nicotine products is up significantly. And that's, you know, in the suburbs, in the city, it's throughout. So the idea is that, you know, the restrictions on age purchases, which in the city is 21, actually statewide now it has to be 21, that they're not working. So that there has to be sort of additional regulations. But your friend is probably correct that when you ban the sale legally of products, you can create a black market And that's certainly, you know, something that the city and health officials are concerned. The idea is that if you make it harder for teens and, you know, really kids, like I said, to access these products, you're putting another sort of obstacle. So some kids are going to leap over that obstacle, right? But maybe some will think twice, or some will get tripped up and their parents will be able to intervene. And I think that the whole coronavirus pandemic also sort of spurred this, because we've started to see evidence that those who vape and use liquid nicotine are more likely to suffer severe symptoms if they end up contracting the virus. So that's also a consideration as well.
Do we believe that the teens are actually going into vape shops? Because he just may be one of the responsible guys. I don't know, but he told me they take your ID and they scan it. They run it through something, and then they match it to you, and they take that part of it seriously because they don't want to get in trouble. They certainly,
absolutely.
This is a big slam to their business.
Yeah, I think the concern is that you have kids who might have fake IDs. I certainly never had a fake ID as, you know, an underage kid. I'm sure you were as well behaved as I was, but, you know, but there are always, you know, people who will buy, you know, beer or alcohol or cigarettes and then pass them on to their, you know, younger friends, or, you know, they'll, you know, take a little bit of a, you know, cut off the top to do that for people. But the idea is that if you restrict the sale of these products entirely, you just, you limit people's ability to get access to these products in the first place.
But if you're taking it seriously, let's be honest, fake IDs are not good. They're just not good. Come on. Someone I know, not me, Heather Sharone, but someone I know had a fake ID, and the person who represented her had different hair color, different eye color, curly, not straight, and was several years older, a lot of years older, and maybe that passed back in the day when it was sort of kind of like not as, you're not taking it seriously, we weren't taking it as seriously. But today, do they work?
You know, I don't know. I am so far removed from the era of fake IDs. I couldn't tell you. But, I think that the concern is that it's such a big health concern, and we've seen such an increase in the number of teens using tobacco products, is that the city council really felt, you know, spurred to act.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at this. Some of the flavors here: apple, berry, bubblegum, cotton candy, gummy bear, Fruit Loops, Nilla Vapes, and strawberry shortcake. It certainly seems like those are flavors that are targeted to kids. I mean, I suppose maybe people in their 20s would like those too, or even people much older than that. I don't know. But those are no longer available in the city as of when?
Well, you know, the ordinance was approved yesterday or on Wednesday, and it typically goes into effect 90 days. However, this ordinance was opposed by the Illinois Retail Merchants Association and other sort of vaping organizations. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see some sort of legal challenges, as has happened in the past when the city has sought to restrict the sale of tobacco products.
So I saw Alderman Riley, one of the people, is a 46-4 vote, so overwhelmingly in support of banning the vaping. But Alderman Riley was one of the dissenters, and he said he felt like, hey, look, guys, the sale of vaping products and cigarettes are already prohibited to everybody under 21. We already have that law. And he'd like to see better enforcement of existing laws.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the trade-off. And the other aldermen who voted against it said, look, the city is facing a $1.2 billion budget shortfall. It shouldn't be banning the sale of any legal product or substance, because you're going to lose sales tax revenue, and that's going to make it even harder for the city to make ends meet. Other aldermen said, look, you can't prioritize the city's budget over the health of teenagers. So it was a relatively spirited debate for the city council.
Yeah. How about it? Anything else happen at council we should know about, Heather?
Well, there's a new contract for the Chicago Fire Department. The firefighters are going to get about $95 million in back pay. However, the deal doesn't really address the way fire engines and fire stations are staffed, and that is really where there is, you know, sort of so much the strain on the city's budget. Again, the trade-off being safety, because if your house catches fire, you want firefighters to be there. So that debate was pushed off into the future, so that is to be determined.
And I saw one of the things I mentioned we will be talking about it coming up on the show is they did pass that $3.8 million judgment for the police officer, the former news affairs officer, Laura Kubiak, who had sued the city because she was a whistleblower of an officer on the force who was doing the wrong thing. Apparently he got, when she talked about the harassment she was getting on the job, apparently he got 1 day suspension. She got moved to overnights, and this whole narrative that we've heard about in the past of dealing with rooting out some of the problems within the police force, it didn't seem right. And they reluctantly, I guess, agreed to get another massive, you know, payout, really. The city can ill afford, for something like that.
Yeah, in all, 4 police misconduct settlements were approved on Wednesday for a total of $6.65 million, including a $2.25 million settlement to the family of Paul O'Neill Jr., who was shot to death by Chicago police several years ago after he was sought for in connection with a car theft.
Yeah, that's I don't know what it's up to now. At one point, it was $500 million for police abuse cases and things that they had. It cost the city over a little more than a decade, I think it was. I don't know what it's up to now. It just felt like last year was a record year. I think it was $119 million.
Close.
I knew it was $120, $115. I don't know, but right in there. It was just a lot of money for this kind of thing. You dig into the details of these, and some of them, not all of them, but some of them are a little bit troubling because you see that, you know, if you're reporting a bad officer, and I've done a lot of stories with Shannon Spaulding, who is another officer who was a whistleblower in the past.
She
had been calling out egregious behavior by 2 officers, Watson Muhammad, who eventually went and served prison time for their shaking down drug dealers and shaking down non-drug dealers, innocent citizens who were not paying them off. To, you know, all kinds of things like that. Just out and out corruption that she was trying to expose, and it ended up she got some of the, mistreated in a way that, is sort of shameful, right? You just sort of look at the way some of these things have been treated, and in this new environment when we talk about police reform, I think that has to be looked at too. And you want to keep handing out these multi-million dollar judgments, right?
Well, there's a question is if the Chicago Police Department can reform itself, of course, it's required to by a federal consent decree. But, you know, the question is whether officers are encouraged or protected when they come forward, when they witness misconduct. And I think that is very much an open question, given all of the settlements that we've seen.
Yeah, it is. It is. And like I said, we'll be talking about that coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. But I also wanted to say we have one of your colleagues, Brandis Friedman, on with us later today, too. So it's like a twofer for WTTW.
It is. Brandis is great.
Yeah. She has a new show on Sundays.
That's right. We're very excited to be expanding the Chicago Tonight family to include Latino voices and Black voices.
You know, you guys,
it's a great time.
You guys do such a good job over there. I mean, you really do. I mean, it's just it's amazing to see. I worked at WTTW. It was my first broadcasting job back in the day.
Oh.
I was 19.
Great.
I was an intern when I was at Northwestern. And I just, it's just a special place, right? It's just a very special place.
It is. I'm thrilled to be a part of the WTTW family.
Oh.
I certainly am.
Well, you do such a good job. Heather, thanks for your time this afternoon. Keep on doing what you're doing.
Thanks so much.
Talk to you later.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
It's Heather Sherone. She's with WTTW, as I said, and she's a great reporter. Check out her work. Follow her on Twitter, too. She has good stuff to say there, too.